Sir, I'd like to ask about the effect of the scandal on the race for the Republican presidential nomination. The polls show that Vice President Bush has suffered because of his involvement, and Bob Dole has gained by it. How do you see the race for the nomination?
It is a war.
And what about the candidates?
They are base criminals.
Sir, George Bush's chances of getting the nomination seem to have been definitely damaged.
I didn't have anything to do with damaging it.
Some say, Mr. President, that your presidency has been hopelessly damaged, that it's too late for a comeback, and that you should resign.
We've got several months before we reach that point.
Follow up, sir. If you were to resign, you would have a full pension, Secret Service protection, and many of the perks that you presently enjoy.
We're going to study that and see what they have in it.
The only open question about resignation, sir, is whether if you resigned, you would still enjoy the franking privilege of sending out your mail free of postage.
This has kept us from having an agreement so far.
Mr. President, the Washington Post ran a story this morning that said you were planning to resign from office next Thursday.
I read that little item myself this morning. No one was more surprised to hear that I was planning that than I was, because I'm not planning that.
But someone on your staff or in your family leaked that story to the press. What can you do to halt this kind of rumor?
We can take whatever action is necessary to curb, to stop, and to punish.
Regarding the First Lady, sir, there are reports that the stress of these investigations is causing friction between you.
We're not bashing at all.
It's well known, sir, that the First Lady adores you. You could prove that.
Well, as far as I know, seven heads of state agreed to a statement.
When Mrs. Reagan gazes at you from those adoring eyes, no one could question what's in her heart.
Well, there are a few things in there I've got some questions about.
It is said, sir, that your chief problems at the White House these days are whether to resign and what you should have for dinner.
No decision has been made on either one of these two things.
On the question of dinner, sir, will you be having the meat or the fish?
I found that it's far more productive if you simply discuss those things in private.
Sir, if I may digress for a moment, these two gentlemen claim to have met you in a gay bar in San Francisco, but I'm sure that's not true.
Now, I recognize this gentleman right here.
Sir, if you did meet this gentleman at a gay bar, what exactly transpired?
We discussed at great length specific actions and all.
Sir, I don't mean to be personal, but what were you doing in a gay bar?
We weren't out in the sense of getting one man.
Well, I should hope not. Of course, there are many sexual lifestyles that one might wish to explore.
All of those things are still goals of ours.
Have you any specific plans for exploring these alternate lifestyles?
We didn't feel that this was something that you put down in a plan.
Sir, according to one poll, two-thirds of the public thinks the scandal has reduced your ability to lead. They say your best years are behind you. For example, you've lost the hearing in your right ear. Why are you turning, sir?
I have to come to this side for a while.
Sir, President Eisenhower said that no man over 70 should sit in the Oval Office, and you are 76. In all candor, are you too old to be president?
We've all seen the evidence.
But you feel your wife stands by you.
I don't see a divorce in the offing.
And what about the public, sir? What is the public saying?
The time is up for you.
Mr. President, your wife is very protective, and I'm sure Donald Reagan used to resent her at times. Did he ever attack her to the press?
Now, we, as I say, have evidence ourselves of 35 planned attacks.
Mr. President, George Will, who generally praises you, says you have a character trait that is a grave flaw, and that is laziness. Are you lazy? Do you procrastinate? People want to know, when will you answer that question?
Well, I don't think that I could put a time on that.
George Will says that you must prove you're still interested in being president, as you contracted with the American people to be until 1989. Are you still interested in being president?
You've asked me a very tough one in my position.
Yet the people are starving for some sign that you can do the job.
It's difficult to believe that people are starving in this country.
On the subject of laziness, sir, all the major departments, the Department of State, the Department of Defense, Agriculture, Interior, they all complain that you're not giving them any direction.
That does not count all those private agencies, too.
But everyone knows you love being president. Don't you enjoy the problems and the work?
No, has nothing to do with that.
Well, what do you like best about the White House?
Waste and fraud. Well, I call waste fraud.
Sir, the investigators are still looking for a smoking gun, something that would show you intended to mislead the American people and cover up unlawful conduct. If they find a smoking gun, many think you should resign.
I feel very strongly that we're talking about a human life.
According to a story in the Associated Press, the smoking gun may be in Illinois.
You've noticed I'm going from Washington to Chicago.
Sir, your administration has lately been guilty of deceit, lying to the public, ransoming hostages, laziness and ignorance. Under the circumstances, what have you to say to the American people?
Play it safe and vote Republican.
Sir, because of your aloofness from the details of governing, your aides in the National Security Council were able to act unlawfully, irresponsibly, and illegally.
There's no question about its being a solid organization.
But, sir, these people at NSC took it on themselves to ignore the law, threaten heads of state, set up Swiss bank accounts, and create their own armies.
You can have an organization with some well-meaning and fine people, but you have an element in there that has its own agenda.
As a result of their actions, sir, 1,500 TOW missiles were shipped to the Ayatollah. What is your present goal?
We're going to continue until we get them back.
Getting back to columnist George Will, sir, he wrote that you didn't pay attention to your duties, that you're intellectually slovenly, and that you're in over your head in the presidency. What have you to say about George Will?
I have the greatest respect and admiration for that man.
But what is your reaction to the things George Will and others have said about your aloofness from work?
Well, I would look into all the things that the charges they've made there to find out if all of these things are true.
Mr. President, the New York Times has said that you have no one to blame but yourself for your troubles, that it was your reaction to your landslide victory over Mr. Mondale. It made you think you had absolute power and didn't have to be too careful about obeying the law. Do you feel you are bound by the law?
Not at all.
Some people feel, sir, that the law applies even to the president.
I've heard rumors and talk of this.
Mr. President, what laws do you feel you are free to ignore? For example, would you commit bigamy?
I don't know. I'll look into that.
Could a president commit statutory rape?
It's not a question that I feel that I could answer.
Are you saying the president is above the law?
No, no.
I'm reassured to hear that, sir. In other words, as president, you would never knowingly break the law.
This is something you say, well, this could happen, and so we mustn't just go blindly and pretend that not a thing like that could ever take place.
Sir, Tom Wicker said that the way you've been running the White House, there were plenty of warnings about what was coming. The misuse of Marines in Lebanon, the Bitburg Cemetery visit, the ill-prepared summit dealings in Iceland. Tom Wicker said that all these things pointed to a disaster waiting to happen.
I evidently wasn't aware of that he said all those things about me. There.
Yes, he did, sir. And Tom Wicker is a respected journalist who has generally praised you. Where do you suppose he got these ideas?
He must have been reading Pravda and TASS too much.
Some observers are applauding the decisive way you acted after the Tower Commission report. You promptly fired Don Regan.
No, I had someone doing it for me, but...
Mr. President, the Tower Commission was shocked at your hands-off managerial style, and observers have seen that you've been correcting that, working much longer hours. Sir, you were at your desk very early today. Did you get the First Lady out of bed early, too?
Started pushing at about 9:30 or 9:45 this morning.
Did you manage to get her up?
We're going to keep on pushing.
It's clear, sir, that you're determined to be a more productive president. How much more work will you be doing?
3% and 3% for the next 2 years following.
Senator Muskie said you seemed to find it hard to absorb detailed information. What did you think of the report of the Tower Commission?
When I finally saw it, it was all made out, and I still didn't understand it.
Sir, I understand you are concerned about your failing memory and have enrolled in a memory improvement course. How much will this cost you?
$294 billion over the next 5 years.
Mr. President, in addition to Senator Muskie, several other officials who have seen you up close recently have questioned both your lapses of memory and your general alertness.
This is what we're trying to correct.
But, sir, you let your aides run wild. You didn't know what was going on in the White House. You laid a wreath on Nazi graves at Bitburg. You turned the Iceland summit into a fiasco. And you can't remember whether you approved a major shift in foreign policy.
You don't bat 1,000%.
Mr. President, one official who refused to be identified says that when you were campaigning around the country, you would often go to bed and sleep right through the day.
We could only do it in 35 counties.
But, sir, how could you learn anything if you were asleep?
What we did was submit a questionnaire to these 35 counties.
Sir, your former White House Chief of Staff, Don Regan, caused you a great deal of trouble because of his arrogance and abrasiveness. How do you feel about his ears?
Well, I'd like to have it pinned down.
A lot of people felt that when you fired Don Regan, you should have also fired Secretary Schultz.
I don't think so. That kind of linkage wouldn't work. I'm going to call in not because you've got a red dress on, but just because you caught my eye.
Thank you, sir. You've come through other crises before. I can recall all of the people who said Mrs. Reagan was spending too much money redecorating the White House.
We didn't buy any $600 toilet seat.
Of course, that was 6 years ago, but you never answered the charges about all the money being spent on interior decorators.
I don't know that they're all through yet.
At least we know one member of your administration is not involved in this scandal. The First Lady has been in Tibet for the last 6 months.
She's back now, and I'm delighted.
Regarding Mrs. Reagan, sir, it has been rumored that she has been on intimate terms with other public officials.
8 presidents in all.
Yet now, in your moment of humiliation and disgrace, I see she's here.
I had a feeling she wouldn't miss this.
Sir, one official has pointed out that all your oldest friends from California have left the White House. He says he thinks you're feeling lonely.
I was just waiting for Sarah to come back.
Sir, one backstairs employee at the White House says that the reason you have been so negligent on foreign affairs is that you spend so much time watching daytime soap operas. He says that you and Mrs. Reagan love General Hospital.
We have been looking at this entire program.
Mr. President, from the beginning, Secretary of State Schultz has been strongly opposed to your plan to trade arms for hostages. Have you any comment?
How can you not take seriously a man that has proven that he is as irrational as he is in things of this kind?
But Secretary Schultz has had a long and distinguished career of service to both the government and to the private sector.
I find he's not only a barbarian, but he's flaky.
Mr. President, do you think the press criticism of Colonel North has been excessive?
I think maybe the criticism is just because he's being darn successful, and deservedly so.
But, sir, Colonel North has allegedly been lying, conniving, and breaking the law.
It's private enterprise.
Sir, most Americans, on hearing your very moving speech on the Iran affair, expect you to be working very hard and taking a real interest in the presidency.
Well, I think some people must be reading things into this.
But, sir, you said in your speech that you had learned from your mistakes and that you were going to change and grow. That's what you said in the speech.
Maybe it loses something in the transmission.
Looking back on the report of the Tower Commission, sir, what have you to say?
I didn't think I'd be president today.
But you are the president, sir. That means you are responsible for the domestic and foreign affairs of the United States. You have to attend to that, not Howard Baker.
Well, I wish he was planning to do that himself.
Mr. President, Fawn Hall, Colonel North's secretary, has been offered $500,000 by Penthouse Magazine to pose in the nude. Do you think she should agree to do this?
Congress has been notified of my decision.
But the people want to know as well, sir. I mean, is Miss Hall planning to pose in the nude for Penthouse?
She chose tonight for her first public appearance.
But in your opinion, sir, should she pose in the nude?
There are things that should not be revealed.
In a recent poll, sir, most people said they would resent it if Miss Hall stripped naked for Bob Guccione.
I guess everyone has a feeling it'll never happen to them.
$500,000 is a lot of money, sir. What would these nude photos of Miss Hall have to offer that would be worth that kind of money?
I promise you, we're looking at it.
But, sir, why should anyone pay $500,000 to photograph Fawn Hall in the nude? Is it worth it?
I can assure you that we have the evidence.
Mr. Guccione, the publisher of Penthouse, first said he was offering Miss Hall $50,000. Then he said he was offering her $500,000.
I think he was speaking more honestly the first time.
It's rumored that Penthouse would either photograph Miss Hall against the backdrop of the Iran-Iraqi war or against the tranquil landscape.
Well, the peaceful way is the thing we've been trying to promote.
Sir, Hugh Hefner of Playboy has already expressed a desire to photograph Miss Hall. Mr. Hefner reportedly wants to photograph her bending over. Is Miss Hall definitely unwilling to pose for Mr. Hefner?
Until he gives up that position.
In other words, the facts are these. Fawn Hall, former secretary to Colonel North, is a strikingly beautiful woman who helped him shred documents in the Iran-Contra deal. She has been offered money by Penthouse magazine to pose in the nude and by Playboy magazine to pose not entirely in the nude.
Could I recap just a moment here?
Mr. President, I know you would prefer not to discuss this kind of intimate sexual matter, but after all, you were once a handsome young star and you have fathered four children.
Now, I won't go any further, and I'm not going to tell you how this was done.
Sir, Miss Hall had a love affair with the son of a leader of the Contra movement. There were rumors that she may also have been intimate with someone in the White House.
I've sat there fidgeting in my chair because it wasn't true.
Mr. President, the Tower Commission report is a bestseller in bookstores across the country. One of your aides says that you have been looking for it in adult bookstores.
If there was an aide that said anything of that kind, he wasn't an aide.
But, sir, you have been seen shopping in adult bookstores on occasion. These are rather sleazy places where you can buy a product like an inflatable woman.
I think that it's a useful tool.
These stores also sell products designed to make sexual activity more satisfying for the male. I understand you actually purchased one such product.
It called for a 3% real growth.
Sir, have you ever purchased any pornographic films in these stores?
Again, you're getting around to details that I don't want to get into.
Could you perhaps issue through your press secretary a list of which films you have bought?
Oh, all right.
Sir, the most controversial part of this whole scandal has been the diversion of millions of dollars from the arms sale to the Contras. What is your position on the diversion of funds?
I'm like that fellow in the story. I'm still yelling, pay the $2.
Sir, your press spokesman announced that in an effort to secure the release of additional hostages, you have been on the phone with some cruel, ruthless men. Have you been speaking to the Iranians?
No, I was talking to my friends in Hollywood.
Mr. President, when you fired Colonel North, you called him a patriot. Do you still feel that way?
No, I just think that the man is a zealot. He's pursuing a revolutionary cause that could affect a great many countries. So, I feel that you have to be on guard against virtually any kind of act.
Sir, a lot of people are comparing your performance as president to that of Jack in the story of Jack and Jill. You climbed a hill, and then you fell down and broke your crown.
Well, I certainly am going to want someone just as Jack was, who has all the experience that is necessary in that field.
What about the Republican Party, sir? They're worried that your performance is going to make it very hard for them to elect a Republican to the White House in 1988.
I have the greatest sympathy for them.
Mr. President, a lot of people are saying that this Iran-Contra scandal has hopelessly crippled your power to rule. They're saying that your presidency is finished.
It's over already?
That's what they're saying, sir, but others believe there's still time to rescue it, that you'll have to take positive action to show your leadership. What specific plans do you have for the future of America?
Why don't you ask questions that can be answered yes or no?
Thank you, Mr. President.